All right. All right. Hello, everyone. It's good to see you all. Glad to see so many people out here, even though it just made me sweat more when I see more people come in. So it's not the hoodie. It's the nerves. So leadership, we've talked a lot about how we're going to handle these nights and the plan that we're going to go with and the structure and where we're going to be when we're talking. I'm going to throw it all off the rails. And I'm going back to Acts. So if you all want to turn to Acts, we're just going to start at number one. So we've been having a lot of really good conversation in youth group about things in Acts. So I thought with them staying in here, it's a good time for you all to see what they learn, conversations they have. And also I want them to see that when we're teaching them these things, it also applies to the adults in our life. It's not just me telling them these things because as teenagers, it's them. I want them to see that this message goes for adults and it also goes for youth group. Okay, so if you are familiar with how Pastor Justin teaches, I will not be landing any planes today. This is going to be more of pulling a ripcord and gliding wherever I'm going to be. So we're going to start in number one, so in chapter one. So I want somebody over here to tell me what happened in chapter one. We've talked about it multiple times. Don't look at your Bible. Tell me something. Acts. Chapter one.
Jesus.
Church. That's a good answer. What happened in the beginning of chapter 1? What was promised?
That the Holy Spirit would
Right. They were promised the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was with them. He told them that they need to wait. And as followers in Christ, we do not like to do that. We do not like to pray about things and wait for the answer. But that's something that we all have to do. And the disciples had to do the same thing. So they were promised the Holy Spirit, and when the Spirit came, what happened? Anybody at all? We got a whole all these youth group here. Everybody, we've talked about this multiple times. We've reviewed it. What happened?
Great tongues of fire were on top of somewhere.
Right. So there were tongues of fire when they were in the upper room. But so before that, they were promised the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus ascended into heaven, and then they said there were two men that appeared in white clothing, correct? Am I correct? Are y'all asleep over here? I saw some of y'all running around the gym. I know you're probably a little tired, but someone took a whooping in volleyball. But we're not going to talk about that right now. So after the ascension, Jesus was taken up into a cloud. And then suddenly two men with white clothes were there, and, you know, those were angels. Some people say that it was Moses and Elijah, but that's not the contention of this conversation. So in verse 12, you go down, and they were united in prayer. And I want y'all to pay attention to these things when you're united in prayer, because I want you to see the importance of it. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about that next week, and I believe that's why Pastor Luke's wanting to come up here, because next week we're going to have a prayer summit. We're going to be spending some time in prayer, learning some things about prayer. And so there were multiple times in here when they were united in prayer. Chapter 12, it says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mountain of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James." And now here's where I want you to pay attention. "They were all continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." So when they were instructed to wait, they didn't moan, they didn't groan, they didn't complain, they didn't grumble. They continually prayed. They continually prayed together. They gathered together, and they prayed continually. And that's something I think we need to be doing a lot more of nowadays, because sometimes we hide things from our friends and from our fellow Christians that... our pride gets in the way of letting people know some things. And I think it's important that we share things with those close to us so that we can be prayer warriors together. So we need to focus a little bit more on that. And like I said, we're going to talk some more about that next week. So then in verse 16, Peter stood up among the followers, and there were about 120 of them. And he said, "Brothers and sisters, it was necessary that the scripture be fulfilled, that the Holy Spirit through the mouth of David foretold Judas, who became the guide of those who arrested Jesus." So what he's saying is, Judas did a bad thing, but it was a part of God's plan. You know, he was assuring them that even though there was something bad that happened, that God was going to make something good come of it. So at that point, then they said, okay, we've got 11 of us here, so what do we do? We're supposed to be 12 of us. So they found Joseph and Matthias. They casted lots, and Matthias was added to the 12, or to the 11, to make the 12. So then we're going to go to chapter 2. That was a quick chapter 1. What happened in chapter 2? Youth group. Wake up. Chapter 2. What's going on?
They were still waiting.
Pentecost. Yep, they were still waiting. And then chapter 2 happened. The day of Pentecost had arrived, and they were all together in one place. And here's where Benjamin was talking about. Suddenly the sound of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, and the Spirit enabled them. So that's when the Holy Spirit was promised to them, and they received the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, where am I at here? I've done lost my place. I'm trying to go off notes because I see people using notes, and I'm losing myself. So verse 13, we got, but some sneered and said they were drunk on new wine. So why do they say that? They said that because they were all speaking in tongues of all these different languages of all the Jews that were there, and people said that they were drunk on new wine. So then you go to the next chapter, and Peter stood up, or the next verse. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, "Fellow Jews and all of you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only 9 in the morning." As if that's going to stop people nowadays. But on the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. So he goes on and he starts talking about some prophecies through Joel and in Psalms from David. In my notes here somewhere. Well, whatever. Anyways, so he stood up and he preached. He talked about the prophecies. And then in verse 37... We're skipping around. We're going to slow down here in just a little bit. But in verse 37, it said, he told about all these prophecies. He told about Joel. He talked about what David said in Psalms. And then verse 37, it says, when they heard this, and it was the Jews who were out listening, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" The answer to that was Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off. As many as the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, "Be saved from this corrupt generation." So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. That's the same answer we give people today. That answer is, it is the same as what we should be telling everyone. Our world is still corrupt. Our world is still wicked. Our world still has full demons and enemies ravaging through it, coming to steal and kill and destroy. And the answer to all of these problems are the same. It's repent. Repent of your sins, turn away from them, and be baptized. And that answer is the same that you should be giving to everyone as you are going throughout your life. So, verse 41. We're going to start slowing down, I promise you. Oh, I just said verse 41, but anyways. So, those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. I have a note there that it says, those who accepted his message. So when you are going out and you are proclaiming the gospel and you are telling people to repent and you are telling people the way to be saved, are everyone going to receive that? No. It's not on us to make sure that seed is watered and, you know, springing good fruit. We are to be disciples and teach people and baptize people, but sometimes you're going to proclaim Jesus and you're going to be bold and people are not going to receive it. People are going to look at you weird when you're walking through the halls because you have a cross necklace on or you're carrying your Bible to Bible study. But that's not something to deter you from doing these things and to speak Jesus' name. All right, so chapter 3. Healing of the lame man. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 p.m. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so that he could beg for those from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk." Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So there's a lot of these teenagers here that have been a part of this challenge that I've given them for a couple years now. Some of them are either new or they have just grown up into the youth group, but I want somebody that's not Levi, because he's always the one willing to say it, to tell everybody in here what my challenge is for you as you go throughout your life. Not Justin either. What is the challenge I've given you for about 2 years now to do while you're interacting with people, while you're going to school, while you're at the grocery store, while you're doing anything, and the opportunity arises? What have I told you? What was that? Speaking the name of Jesus, praying in public, being willing and bold in your faith to say things when you feel the conviction that maybe I should pray for this person, maybe I should say these things, maybe I should talk about these things. Well, right here, the lame man was healed and instantly leaped for joy, and he jumped up and down and was leaping through the temple, praising God for what happened to him. So not only was Peter bold and speaking the name of Jesus in people's life, was he going out being bold and speaking about Christ and the resurrection and what he has done and how we can be saved, but then the lame man, who was not a part of this, immediately started praising God and leaping for joy. And we should be leaping for joy. We should be running through the aisles. We should be standing up and down and running to the grocery store. And every time we see somebody who looks like they have a sour look on their face, praising God and speaking about what he's done for our life. We should not be grumbling because we got a bad test score. We should not be grumbling because our work day wasn't great. We should not be grumbling because we didn't win the football game, because God has done way bigger things for us in our life, and we should be bold. And I challenge all you adults as well. Me and Tim Miller have talked multiple times about prayer and about praying with people. And one thing we talk about is when somebody knows that you are of Christ and you are having a conversation and they ask you for prayer, you immediately stop the conversation and you pray with them on that spot, because it means so much more when they see the fruit and the follow-up of what you say you're going to do. Because a lot of people will say, "Will you pray for me?" And you say, "Yes, I will." And you go home and you completely forget about it. I'm guilty of it. I know every one of you are guilty of it. And if you are bold enough to stand right there in front of them and say, "Well, let's stop right now and let's have this prayer." Or even if they don't ask and you feel the Holy Spirit pulling you towards saying, "I will pray with you right now. What can I pray about?" I go to a meat sale every Tuesday and I drop off meat to people, and there are multiple people there who will come and they'll stop by and just casual conversation. They will tell me some complaints about their life and I immediately just pray with them. That is something we should all be doing. I want people to do that for me. I enjoy getting text messages and phone calls after I've told someone about something that I'm struggling with and something that, you know, spiritually is causing friction in my mind because I can't sort something out, or you know, I don't have any money and I can't pay my bills and my kids got games here and there and I've got all this stuff going on in my life. And I tell people about that, and I really covet and enjoy when I get a text message randomly on a Tuesday when I'm sitting at the fire station and it says, "Hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you right now. I want you to know that I'm praying for what you told me about. How are things going with this? How is the financial situation? What can I do to help? How can I pray for you? How are things doing? What's God doing in your life?" And I really enjoy those conversations. And it means so much more. Okay. The amount of peace you will have in your life when you take away certain potential opportunities for conviction, is overwhelming when you immediately take that opportunity away. Because when you say you're going to do something and innocently you forget about it, that will weigh on your heart. One of the biggest regrets of my life as a Christian is some of the things that I have not said in my life. And the biggest part of that is I have an older brother that none of you have ever met. And that is because he passed away. And while he was on this earth, I had opportunities to speak the name of Jesus. I had opportunities to share wisdom. I had opportunities to pray with him and to pray over him because he battled alcoholism and he had a lot of unhealthy habits that ultimately succumbed to his passing away. But one of my biggest regrets in life is not witnessing to my brother while he walked this earth. And I pray that the Lord shows mercy and grace in that moment. And also pray, and I hope that you do not create those opportunities for yourself. As you have family members, as you have loved ones that do not know the Lord or are in need of some things from you that the Lord has provided, and you do not withhold those things, I pray that you do not make that same mistake. And I want you to know that it is not only what you're going to be answering to the Lord for about what you did in His name, what you prayed for in His name, you are also going to be answering for what you did not pray for what you did not speak about, for what you did not do, the actions that you did not do for Him, the things that you held back from because you were not bold and you were not courageous enough in that moment. I got to stop that one. Let's move on. Sorry. Okay. Verse 42 and chapter 2. It's a generous and growing church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Again, here they are with the very beginning of the church, focusing on fellowship and prayer together. They devoted themselves. That's the 3,120 people, give or take. Devoted themselves together on teaching, baptizing, and breaking of bread and prayer. That is discipleship. That is making disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, because Jesus is with you. That is what we are commanded to do right now. How many people in your life, how many people do you have in your life that you are not just saying, I will pray for you, I hope you have a good day. That you're not just seeking out on a Sunday morning, say, hey, I'll always shake Tim Miller's hand, so it's Sunday, he's here, I've got to go shake Tim Miller's hand. How many people are you calling every single day and saying, Scott, how you doing? What's going on? What are you reading about? Well, let's walk through it. Let's talk about this. What are you struggling with? What are you reading on? What's the Lord convicting you of? How many people are you teaching after that conversion? How many people are you walking through life with and you are consistently praying with and you are actually discipling? We talk about this in the leadership team, and we talk about how we want to gear a lot of our things that we're doing towards discipleship heavily. And we talk about who are you discipling? We ask each other that question when we're sitting in a meeting, and a lot of times I'm stepping on my own toes because I've started having a conversation with someone and I've started talking to them every week, and then six kids and life happens and it doesn't happen anymore. The conversations slowly start drifting away and they stop happening, and you know the intimacy that you have, the brotherhood or sisterhood that you have and you are trying to work build just fizzles away because of your unintentional discipleship or your unintentional actions that you're just not allowing that to be a priority in your life. So the believers held things in common, which is what we are to do. They said they sold all of their possessions and property and distributed them to the needs around them. Now, I'm not saying I've got 5 acres, I'm going to sell it all, but Terry over here has a really nice RV, and I'd like to have some money, so I'm going to ask him to sell it and give me some money. I'm not saying that. But when you see needs around you, when you see spiritual needs around you, when you see physical needs around you, when you see financial needs around you, and you are able to help, you should be willing. And that's not me telling you this. That's not me telling you that I do this and you should. That is Scripture telling us that we should be generous and growing as a church body. We should be willing to pray with one another. We should be willing to help one another. We should be willing to teach one another and to show love to one another in all the ways that we can. So they did these things. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together, breaking bread from house to house. The church was not Heritage Baptist Church versus Elkview Baptist Church versus Amplify Church. The church was not, I'm going to come here and only here. The church was where two or more were gathering. That is where the church was being. And they were breaking bread together, they were praying together, and they were teaching together. So that's something we need to do as believers a little more frequently is, again, praying together. I'm really going to enjoy next week, but I'm not going to go too deep in it. I'm going to let Pastor Luke talk about that part. So, all right. So the lame man was healed. I done went backwards in my notes here. So sorry. Peter spoke the name of Jesus. I'm going to read this passage, and I want you to. I would love for one of the youth to speak about what we spoke about in this passage. I think they're a little asleep, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But so the lame man was healed. He leaped for joy, running through the Solomon's colonnade, the temple, running through there. Everybody's looking. Everybody's confused because everybody knew this man. They knew he was lame. They didn't know what happened. They didn't know what was going on and how he could possibly be running around, leaping for joy and praising God. So all these people were confused. And then in verse 12, I believe, where I'm going anyways. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you." So one point I want to point out there, Peter is telling all these people this stuff. Peter is being bold. Peter denied Jesus and then looks at the leaders and says, "You denied the holy and righteous one." Peter is the one who denied Jesus three times. Peter denied him three times and still had the boldness, still had the courage, still had the faith in the Lord that what he did was forgiven, and looked at the people and said, "You denied Jesus, and by Jesus' name, this man was healed." Have the boldness to speak the word. Have the boldness to proclaim things regardless of what you've done. I asked the youth group, who feels unqualified? I do. Who feels like they should be standing in front of anybody and saying anything because of what you've done in the past? I should not. In my mind, I was a horrible person. In my mind, I'm not qualified. In my mind, I'm not trained. I know what I know because of the grace of the Lord who has given me wisdom when I'm reading Scripture with people like Justin who look at me and explain things to me that I don't understand because the Lord gave him wisdom. When Tim Miller calls me or messages me and tells me something because the Lord gave him wisdom. When me and my wife sit and we read or we pray together, I know what I know because of the Word. I don't know what I know because I went to a fancy college and they taught me everything. I don't feel qualified. But if you look right here, neither did Peter and John. In verse 13, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. By their words, by their boldness, by their action, these people who are leaders in the church back then, leaders of the Jerusalem of the Jews, they were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the leaders who were educated, who were trained, who were willing to speak out, but they were saying some things that weren't right. They look at the uneducated and untrained men just by their faith and their actions and say, "You've been with Jesus. What are you doing right now? What are we doing in our life to let people know that we have Jesus? We have the Holy Spirit. Where is our Ebenezer? Where are we saying, hitherto the Lord has done this for me? Are we speaking to people? Are we telling people what he's done for us? Because I know I fail. I know I like to think that every single opportunity the Lord has put in front of me, I stand my ground and I say the right thing. But I'm telling you right now, I don't. I'm telling you right now, I don't. Okay. I'm going to here in just a second. Sorry. Anyways. So they pray for boldness. After they had the boldness, they prayed for boldness. Whew. After they were released, then they went to their own people and reported everything. I skipped over something. I'm sorry. I skipped over. I'm a little worked up. I apologize. So they do all these things, say all these things. They have boldness. They speak what Jesus did. They talked about his name and who healed the man. It wasn't Peter and John. The people realized that they were uneducated and untrained. And then they said, we have no idea how to stop them because everybody saw the lame man be healed. All of these people sat right there and watched the lame man get stood up by the power of the Holy Spirit and leap for joy. So how in the world can we look at these guys and tell them, you have to stop, you don't have any proof? No, but they can't do anything to them. Scripture says, let me find it because I'm a little jumbled right now. Scripture says that they couldn't do anything to them because they couldn't find anything they did wrong. They couldn't hold them accountable for it because they couldn't prove that what had happened had not happened, right? Whew, okay, so then they threaten them. They threatened them. They said, the only thing that I can think to do is just threaten these guys, tell them you're not allowed to speak in Jesus' name again. Don't do it or else. And they said, whether I am to listen to God or to you, I'll leave that to God. I'll leave that to God. And I'm going to continue to speak the name of Jesus. I'm going to continue to speak of his resurrection. I'm going to continue to speak healing and power over people, and I'm going to teach, I'm going to preach, and I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to continue to do it whether you threaten me or not. So then they pray for boldness. After they were released, they went to their own people and reported everything the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together. They raised their voices together in prayer. They raised their voices together to God and said, Master, you are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? The kings of this earth take their stand and the rulers assemble together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant your servants may speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled had shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. I stand before you right now today because I have continually prayed that he gives me boldness to stand here. Because like I said before, I do not feel trained. I do not feel qualified, but I'm standing here because I have been in continuous prayer for boldness to stand up here and speak the things that he has been telling me, to stand up here and look at our leadership and say, hey, I know we've talked multiple times that we're going to be here, here, and here on this date and this date, but the Holy Spirit is working in me in this part of Scripture, and I'm going to do it. So I apologize for shaking up the schedule, but you all can do what you want to do on your days. So I'm not going to go against the Lord when he's working on me, and I've been stuck here in Acts, so bear with me. All right. Again, verse 32, the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one claimed any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. As a church, we should be holding everything in common. We should not have strife within us. We should not be upset with each other for a duration of time because we're human people and we're going to be upset at times, that we should work through those problems biblically and like adults. You too, teenagers, because you are young adults. Do not be stirring up strife with each other, causing drama and text messages and taking B-reels, whatever those are. All right. For there was not a needy person among them. I will say this. I'm sitting here and I feel like all I'm doing is telling you you're doing things wrong. Heritage Baptist Church is a very generous church. I believe we are a very generous people. I don't know of a time that since I've been here that there has been someone, whether it is a physical need, a spiritual need, or whatever, that there have not been multiple people willing to come together and help our church family. So I'm not screaming and saying that you all need to do this like you're not. I'm just only preaching and teaching about the words that are in my scripture. So, for there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. Then this was then distributed to each person as any had need. Again, I believe as a church body, I believe we do a very good job of looking after one another, and I'm very thankful to be a part of a church that is willing to do that. All right. Where am I at? Chapter 5. And this, I don't even think I'm going to get all the way through this just because I didn't prepare any more notes, but I'm going to see what's going on here. Anyways, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge and brought a portion of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter said, asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Wasn't it yours while you possessed it? And after it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you planned this thing in your heart? You have not lied to people but to God. When he heard these words, Ananias dropped dead, and a great fear came on all who heard. The young men got up, wrapped his body, carried him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Tell me, Peter asked her, did you sell the land for this price? Yes, she said, for that price. Then Peter said to her, why did you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Instantly she dropped dead at his feet. When the young men came in, they found her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Then great fear came to the whole church and on all who heard these things. All right. I'm already skipped over a bunch of notes. I don't even know where I'm at here on my own book. Chapter 5. Okay. So, what I see in this scripture is what I'm warning the youth group, and I warn you as well, is this is a false humility. This is an opportunity to see Christians doing something. I'm gonna break this down as a youth group thing, but it applies to all of us. You see these Christians doing something, you think, man, that looks really cool. It's what all the cool kids are doing. Everybody's doing all this thing. I want to be a part of it. I'm gonna go give too. And I see everybody laying their stuff down. I don't know that I'm gonna be jumping all in on this thing. I'm gonna ride Pastor Justin's fence over here, and I'm gonna just give a little bit of stuff, and I'm gonna keep stuff back just in case this whole Jesus thing doesn't work out. That's what I'm seeing, right? So you don't want to succumb yourself to a false humility, because ultimately you will pay the price. It may not be while you're here on earth. You may not be like Ananias and Sapphira and be struck down here on earth because you're not willing to sell your possessions and give everything, but you will be answering for why you're not all in for Jesus. Now, this also reminds me of Luke 9, verse 23 and 24. Then he said to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. So I have a question. Are you picking up your cross daily? Are you willing to not look back at the things that you did, at the things that you had? Because Ananias and Sapphira, the way I'm picturing this in my mind is those possessions they had were one part. It was a backup plan. It was an unassured thought process of I believe some of this stuff, but some of it's a little bit I don't know about. You know, I didn't see it with my own eyes, so I'm just going to kind of halfway buy in. But in another sense, I see it as baggage from your past. You're trying to change. You're trying to step forward and lay it all and be sold out for Jesus. But you also aren't sure that everything that you had before, you're ready to let go of. You're ready to stop listening to the things you're listening to. You're ready to stop doing the things that you're doing. You're not ready to stop saying the things that you say, or reading the things that you read, or listening, or any of those things. You're not willing to just sell all of it, pick up your cross daily. I want to point that out again, daily. Every day you should be picking up your cross daily and following Jesus. So you're not willing to let that baggage go and fully sell out for the Lord. And ultimately, they paid the price for that. They paid with their lives. So they tried to save parts of their life, and in this case, they lost it. So I'm going to finish it here by saying, pick up your cross daily. Be bold and speak the name of Jesus in your life. Speak of your testimony and what God has done and continues to do. We are blood-bought, born-again believers in Christ, and this is how we are to live. This is how we are to act with people. We should be speaking about the Lord in our life. We should be speaking about what He's done. Our testimony holds a lot of weight with people, and your specific testimony can do things for people that my testimony cannot. So everyone needs to be bold about it. So I'm going to pray. I hope I'm not done too early, but I'm going to pray and let Pastor Luke come up and talk. I appreciate you all. Let me stand here. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to stand here and speak of your word, Lord. I pray that all these people here and all the ones that we interact with are willing to be bold servants for you, Jesus. I pray that we speak your name in our lives. So I pray that we read, I pray we discern, and I pray that we share your word, Lord. I pray that you help us every day. I pray that we are willing to come together as a church and share our needs and share our testimonies, Lord. I pray that you help us be a generous and growing church, Lord. I thank you for all these that are here today, and I pray that we all get home safely. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I don't know how to turn this thing off. Push button.